This Hello. Is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Buda Baker was on in hour number one. We're about to have DK Metcalf on the program. I separated the two of them out of respect. If you recall, the two, once upon a time, were involved in a very famous play.
Man, poor Buda.
And Amin, that's lived forever.
Remember Patrick Peterson?
Peterson.
DK Metcalf is so fast.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I saw him, last time I saw him was in Munich. I was heading to the, Bayern Munich, one would say a conference area. There's a bunch of offices there, and they put a conference room off to the side for the NFL Network crew to be placed. And we spoke to Gino and Pete Carroll and what have you. Coming off the practice field, I was walking towards that area. DK Metcalf came off the practice field. We strolled and had a nice chit chat, a little small talk. Small talk. He was very tall, so I guess tall talk. I was the small talk. Right. He was the tall talk, and couldn't have been nicer.
And you're one of those people too. Like, you're a little bigger than people think.
Am I one of those guys?
Yeah. I mean, you're a full 6 feet.
Yeah.
And I don't think people give you credit for that. I think people think you're in like that 5'8" range.
You know why? They only see my torso up.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So you don't know.
No, I don't know. Like on this program, very rarely will you see me full body. Yeah. For instance, I'm half a man. The only time that you've seen the lower half is when I put my Birkenstocks up on the table.
Yes, yeah, never do that again.
Yeah, we don't want to see that again.
Guys.
Not a great moment.
By the way, though, we see you stand on game day.
A great moment.
Yeah, we see you stand on game day. Yeah, it's not like you look smaller compared to, you know, Kurt's tall and Irv's tall, and you're bigger than Mooch, right?
I am.
Yeah, Mooch is.
But it's like when you see Steph Curry out on the court, you're like, whoa, he's small. Nuh-uh, he's 6'3".
That's like when I met Tony Parker and Steve Nash one summer in New York, and you thought that those are small guys. And I looked up at both of them.
Yeah. Another guy that's taller than you think, Chappelle, right?
It's about that size that you would think.
Because you saw him this past week, right?
I did.
Rich.
Got to see him.
Chappelle once told me my shoes were fire.
I'm just going to come out and say it.
Yeah.
I'm going to come out and say it.
Say what?
There is a selfie video on Sheila E.'s Instagram page. You can see TJ in the background.
Yes. Wait, really?
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. Sheila E.'s Instagram page, by the way.
TJ led the glamorous life the other night.
That's not a metaphor for anything.
Wow. Sheila E. co-wrote my book, so, you know, we had a nice little reunion.
How about that?
I don't know if Brockman's impressed. I'm impressed.
I was awesome.
Sheila E. doesn't do much for me. I'm not of a certain age.
Oh, my God.
He never led the glamorous.
This guy.
I'm the youngest one in the room. What do you want from me?
So DK Metcalf's about to join us. And we're going to be, we're going to turn to him. We've got What's More Likely coming up shortly. We also have, to go out the door, a Bill Belichick press conference moment. We haven't done this in a couple of weeks. We haven't done one in a while.
No, but today's is pretty good.
Okay. And we'll go to the phone lines for a brief bit here. Nick in South Carolina has been holding on since hour number one. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Rich. How you doing, buddy?
Thanks for hanging on as long as you did. What's going on?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm a disabled vet, man. Wrote a couple things down, man, so you bear with me here for just a second.
Have at it, sir.
Let's go.
Brain's a little slow sometimes, man. But first off, man, let me say that what you did for Henry Winkler with Patrick Mahomes is a prime example of what an amazing human you are and why you're one of my favorite people.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. And also, your Michigan Wolverines delivered one of the year's highlights for me when they embarrassed OSU on their home turf, and to see you come in on Monday just, you know, all giddy like you were, man, was the highlight of the show. But
thank you.
Man, I got a quick question for you, though, man.
Sure.
I remember a few weeks ago you called Tua elite.
I did, sir.
And I also think at some point earlier in the season you had the Dolphins projected at 12-5, which they are still on pace for. And I still believe Tua is elite. Would you agree, sir?
Of course I would. Look, elite quarterbacks have off games and off days. I mean, Joe Burrow, I would say, is elite. And just look at Halloween night. that was dreadful for him. So, you know, elite quarterbacks have off days, and Tua definitely had one in San Francisco. And I proffer to say we'll see the bounce back Sunday night for sure.
Yeah, I think that defensive line was just unstoppable, man. Just, you know, you got offensive linemen out, and but Miami's defense kept them in it for as long as they could.
They did, and I think Miami's a playoff team. I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school there. And the question is do they go in with a home playoff game and a division title, or do they come in as a wild card, and we'll see where they go. And I appreciate the call, and thanks for holding on and saying what you said, Nick. I still can't believe that Henry Winkler and Patrick Mahomes met each other, and I was the one who made it happen. This show is one that made it happen. It's kind of weird.
Because he interrupted you while we were trying to talk about his award-winning program.
Correct.
Yeah.
Do you know Patrick Mahomes?
Do you know Patrick Mahomes?
I mean, look at this.
I love him. Like, what? What? Easy, Fonz.
Look at this, two of them. Look at them. They're BFFs. They should be in like a TV show together.
You know what's funny, though? If kind of doing what we do here, sometimes, Rich, you like to shoot your shot with the guests when it comes to fantasy or something. Sure. And Brockman's like, don't do it. Don't pitch the name. Imagine this. Imagine Henry Winkler sitting with his best friend of 50 years. He's like, I'm about to go on the Rich Eisen show. And his friend's like, cool. And he's like, I think I'm going to ask him if he knows Patrick Mahomes. And what if his friend's like, no, man, don't say it. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass yourself. No. He wouldn't have had that moment. See, sometimes closed mouths don't get fed, man. You got to ask even if you're Henry Winkler.
True.
Sometimes, in order to win, you have to stop from losing.
Yeah.
It's true.
Come on.
Jeff in Detroit, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeffrey?
Thank you for taking my call at this time, because I can attest to everything they're saying. You make dreams come true.
That's Laverne and Shirley. That's Laverne and Shirley. Right church, wrong pew. Same church.
Rich makes dreams come true. Listen, Snoop Dogg, Deion Sanders, excuse me, Coach Prime now.
Yes, yes.
But he was Deion on your show. I got to kick it with all of these guys, and I'm like, my goodness. What's going on, fellas? Listen, what I love Jeff. Rich Eisen at this time of year. You're so giddy. If you go back and look at tape, you got that same glow right around this town with so many intersecting stories.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm just thinking about something, Rich. Josh McDaniels is kind of like Matt Patricia. It seems like they got that Bill Belichick airness to them. And I'm wondering, are they likable? Because the team, it seemed like the Raiders were doing the same thing that the Lions were doing, just committing stupid penalties at the wrong time. And this team, the Raiders, has way too much talent to be producing like they are. It should be, like you said, I would have called them at least a playoff team, if not going to the Super Bowl. But I honestly believe that if you play for yourself opposed to playing for your teammates, it doesn't seem like they're disappointed about letting their teammates down, because you wouldn't do or commit the penalties that they're committing, dumb penalties, like Chris said. It's certain things. I honestly believe that certain coaches coach, but it's people like you that lead, man. You know what I'm saying? Look at your squad. You, TJ, all of them. Man, I remember the day. I remember when you had Chris Law and you swapped out, and then TJ slid in seamlessly. Everything kept running because they understood how you wanted it done, and you understood what it took to get this show going. And, I mean, ever since then, you have put out one of the best products out, man.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. But, you know, and thank you for saying that. I appreciate that, Jeff. And Chris Law helped build this show, too. So let's not – I just want to make it known. Okay?
And that was like a 2-3 year gap. No.
But I appreciate what Jeff's having to say. So am I the McDaniels or the Belichick of that analogy?
Well, in this case, I'm definitely not going to say McDaniels, okay?
Well, I don't know. I mean, where I didn't get it right the first time, and or at the beginning. I don't know what to say. Which one am I?
You're just Rich Eisen.
Thank you, sir. Shall we get to it? It's a Friday staple. Chris Brockman has a whole host of scenarios that may or may not happen this weekend. It's time for another edition of What's More Likely on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up?
What? What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Okay, what do you have over there, Christopher?
Hey, guys, what's up?
What up, G?
Happy Friday, man. Let's do this. All right, NFL Sunday, it's going to be awesome. Let's start with your team there, Rich. Bills are 10-point favorites, so what's more likely? Bills win by two scores or Mike White stays hot in another Jets win?
I'll say Bills win by two scores. That's more likely. I'm not terribly confident about this. Last week, I was very confident that the Jets could go in and win in Minnesota. I would love to be wrong about this. I'd love for the Jets to surprise everybody and have a sweep over the Buffalo Bills that I just don't know, man. It's such a tough place to play. I think the Bills have turned a corner. So what's more likely is that the Bills right the ship and do to the Jets what they just did to the Patriots and get ready for their game against the Miami Dolphins coming up in week 15 on a Saturday night on NFL Network. That would be what we call monster big. So that's how I'm looking at it, Christopher. That's sadly what's more likely in my estimation.
Rich, it's very honest and realistic of you.
But I also want Mike White staying as a starting quarterback. That's what I want.
I still think he's going to play well. It just may not result in a W.
Yeah, I don't see the Bills tripping up here and then not getting ready, not going in with a nice head of steam against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
What a big game that is.
Yeah.
What else, Chris?
How about this one, guys? A couple of 5-7 teams playing at home this week are actually favorites against teams with better records than them. Talking about, of course, the Lions and the Steelers. So which 5-7 home favorite more likely to pull off the upset, Detroit or Pittsburgh?
How about this?
No, there's no how about this.
No, I'm going to give you how about this.
The segment is not how about this.
No.
It's what's more likely.
How about this? Both do it.
Oh.
You didn't expect that one, did you?
Both of them?
Bofa.
Bofa.
Oh.
Bofa, Doe's nutty picks.
Little Lies in Parlay, Lions, Steelers.
Bofa, these picks?
Bofa.
Ooh, I'm going to just write that down real quick.
How about that?
Lions, Steelers. Looks like it's going to be
How about that? I went off the board. I went off the board to use a Joker's wild phrase. You remember that, Mikey? I knew I got you. I know I'm talking your language.
No, I'm good. Yeah, man.
That's it. I say both do it.
Ooh.
Lions, Steelers. Both of them. Bofa. What else?
Wow.
Yeah.
Both of these.
Might have to write that one down. All right. What's more likely to be the larger total, okay? The larger total, guys.
Are you asking me technically for a gambling?
Nope. Maybe.
Don't. Okay.
The larger total. Cowboys winning margin.
Yes.
Cowboys winning margin.
Like 40?
Chiefs points scored against Denver.
Ooh.
I'll go Cowboys winning margin. Denver's got a good defense, man. And they're at home. I don't think this is going to be the cakewalk. And the Chiefs win, and I think the Chiefs win by double digits, if you want me to put a finer point on it.
What is it, like 24-14?
I'm not going to give any...
All I'm saying is, Rich, the Cowboys are 17.5 favorites. That's the largest spread we've seen this year in the NFL. So is it
what is it again? What's the question?
Larger total. What's larger? The Cowboys winning margin.
Yeah.
We saw what they did last week.
Or the total points for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs points score.
I'll go Cowboys over the Texans. This is one of those, man, where the Cowboys don't normally perform very well. But this year they're curb stomping people.
And I think that
fourth quarter against Indianapolis is going to be a nice springboard. And what about trap game, all that business. I mean, they've got the Eagles next, brother, coming up.
Your guy Pollard's going to eat this week.
They got the Eagles in week 16. Let me just make sure who they have following this one. They're at Jacksonville. So,
Dub. Yeah,
I think you're good. The NFC East is just destroying the AFC South, taking them out. It started with the Giants going for two against the Titans in week one.
And
they're just destroying them all.
Not to interrupt, but to go back to what Mike Florio said about Dallas's last 5 weeks. If they implode over these next 5 weeks with that lineup, then they deserve it.
Well, they got this game against Houston to Jacksonville, and then they got they play the AFC South three times in the next 4 weeks. The only game that they don't have against the AFC South is the game against Philadelphia at home in between the visits to Jacksonville and Tennessee before a visit to Washington to end the season.
Look at those point totals. They're scoring like 40 a game with Dak back.
They're killing them. They're doing well.
All right, Joe Burrow revenge game for the Halloween massacre there against the Browns. What's more likely, Nick Chubb? What's the higher total? Sorry. Nick Chubb rushing yards or Jamar Chase receiving
yards? Jamar Chase receiving yards. I think the Bengals take care of business emphatically.
Blowout?
Emphatically. Huh?
You like them by like a touchdown, maybe?
I like them emphatically. However you wish to... yeah, sure. I'll do that.
Oh. Well,
yeah, sure.
Oh, interesting.
Why not? To use the Cannavale drop in real time.
I like that.
Bengals. I think they stop the run and say, all right, Deshaun, you knock your rust off.
Yeah, they're starting to peak.
What else?
Okay, NFC West. Big matchup here. Big matchup in the NFC West. Two big games.
Yes, sir.
NFC West team most likely to get got at home. 49ers or Seahawks?
Seahawks aren't getting got by Carolina, man. That ain't happening. I'll go with the 49ers. Brock Purdy starting against Tom Brady. You're the one who thinks that Brady is no way he's losing this game.
No way losing this game.
Tom Brady, it's only his second game in Santa Clara, in San Francisco. So,
emotional about going.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a more likely that San Francisco loses to Tampa. Seattle's not dropping this one. I'll tell you what, man. We got DK Metcalf coming up. I can't wait to ask him about, you know, you got the Niners right after this game against Carolina. No shot. I think they're I believe in them. What else, Chris?
You know, we need one more.
There it is.
All right, we'll get one more.
By the way, Ocean's 11, it was the 21st anniversary earlier this week.
It's been on a lot. I've watched it a couple times.
Good.
It's still awesome.
It's so great.
It's
what a great movie.
Awesome.
Yes.
All right, let's finish off with Sunday Night Football. Dolphins, Chargers. It's going to be an awesome game. Who's more likely, though, to win a playoff game this year?
Tua.
Tua or Herbert?
Tua. I don't think the Chargers are even making it.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. What are you seeing out of the Chargers that makes you think that they're going to finish up strong and win games that they're supposed to and shock you and win games that they're not?
I think they're getting healthy, and I think Herbert's awesome.
Why are you so on the Chargers against the Dolphins this weekend?
I don't know. Everyone's been accusing me in the comments of being so anti-Dolphins, so I'm kind of just leaning into it.
Don't do that. let me look at the Chargers' schedule.
Listen.
Let's go. They got a home game against Miami this weekend and then Tennessee next. They got a Monday night game at Indianapolis. How confident are you?
The Chargers to beat the Colts?
They should.
I mean, the Chargers.
By the way, how about this game?
By the way, the Chargers can win out.
This game? How about this game?
The Chargers can win out.
How about Baker Mayfield and the Rams in week 17?
Look, anyone can win the lottery.
They win. They need to, so how about this? They need to win. Hold on a second. Let's talk brass tacks. They got to win three out of their last five, right?
To make the playoffs?
They're 6-6.
I would imagine they'll probably have to win four. They'll have to go 4-4.
4-1.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, it helps them that the Raiders just stepped all over themselves last night.
Right, so the Raiders are now out. So it's really just...
I wouldn't say that yet. The Steelers and the Browns. Let's see what happens with the Steelers and the Browns.
Browns lose this week. Steelers win. So what's that?
Six and seven.
So then that eliminates the Browns. And then the Patriots can win to get to 7-6. But if they don't, there's a bunch of teams at 6-7. Jets lose to Buffalo. They're 7-6.
Yeah.
It's still pretty wide open for the 7th seed, but...
The Chargers have an absolute
Raiders
path.
Raiders and Browns
there's
are
no
out.
There's no question the Chargers have an absolute path. I don't know, man. As you know, they're my number one team on the list of top five teams that you watch them and there's always something missing.
But usually the team with the better quarterback wins. And I just think Herbert's still that guy.
Okay. What a great Sunday night game. I'm really looking
really
forward to it.
Good flex decision.
Take a break. DK Metcalf when we come back. You mentioned the Seattle Seahawks moments ago, Chris. Interesting that you do that because we have one of the best Seahawks on hold right now. The Seahawks take on the San Francisco. At this point next week, we'll be talking about the Thursday night game between Seattle and San Francisco.
That's a good Thursday.
San Francisco's got Tom Brady at home, while the Seattle Seahawks take on the Carolina Panthers. And that was what we would call a winnable game, right? Yep. So let's see what happens. Something to talk about with DK Metcalf on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. Last time I saw him was coming off the practice field in Munich. How are you, DK?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Rich?
Well, I'm doing fine. I just hung up the phone with Buda Baker, and out of respect to him, I did not tell him I was going to speak to you later on, DK.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that.
I'm just trying to be respectful of all parties and all guests on my program. You know,
right.
You know. How are you? How you been?
Man, everything's been good. Just good to be back on the winning side. You know, everything off the field is going good, on the field is going good. So I mean, life is great right now.
All right, we'll get to the off the field in a second. On the field, did I see you? Did you wave for Jalen Ramsey to come travel with you last week? Did I see that on the field?
Yes, sir, you saw it.
Walk me through that one, DK. Walk me through that one.
I know in the past years I would line up on his side and then motion away. So yes. I just tried to give him a heads up, like, hey, I'm going over here in case you wanted to come over here and join me. I wanted him to follow me the whole game.
Right. And how did he take that wave? How did he take that?
He threw his hands. I'm like, oh, you traveling again. You motioning away again. But, you know, I really didn't care, just as long as he knew how I was feeling.
Did he laugh at that at some point, or no, not really? He didn't take that?
No, I don't think he laughed. I don't think he took that as a joke.
Was that a planned thing, or you just like that just came out of you? Just like, hey, come on.
That was just in the moment. Like,
I love it.
I heard the play, and I knew I was going to motion away, so I knew as soon as Geno sent me in motion, that's how I felt. Like, come on, I'm on your ass all day. That's basically how I felt.
That is unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen that. Is that the first time you've ever done that? How about that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Walk me through the game winner, too. The game winner for you last week.
Yes, sir.
What happened, if you don't mind?
You know, Geno, Shane, the O-line, everybody that was in that drive up, got us down to the 8-yard line. And that was well executed, you know, on Shane's part, on everybody else's part, you know, that was in on offense. I know Marquise and Tyler caught big passes to get down there. The O-line was blocking their ass off. And so Shane called a boot, and he gave me outside leverage, so I just took the inside route. You know, fought him off a little bit, and then just threw my hand up because I wanted the ball.
And touchdown. And obviously that's a dub that you needed. What's your relationship? I know what your relationship is, so let me rephrase that. You and Geno, and how you've been able to connect this year. It's not obviously your first rodeo. He's been on the team. But this is a big year for him, and right. He's been big this year. What have you seen from him and you?
I mean, I've seen everything translate from the practice field to the game field and, you know, to how he lives his life. He looks at this as a second opportunity, you know, to write his own story. And he's doing it, you know, exceptionally well with, you know, everybody supporting him around, you know, the building, from coaches to staff members to players. And it's just been fun to watch because I know my rookie year, he got here at the same time I did. And just to see, you know, the growth that he's had, you know, learning from Russ, learning from Shotty, learning from Shane and everybody else, and then just adding his own spice, you know, to the game, and, you know, how he carried himself has just been fun to watch.
Have you been in contact with Russ at all lately?
Yes, sir. I talked to him Tuesday.
Okay. And how often do you connect with your old quarterback, DK?
I talk to him at least once a week.
Once a week. What's,
yes,
if you don't mind me prying, the nature of the conversation, what do you guys talk about?
I mean, it's pretty much just checking in with each other, making sure, you know, both of us are doing fine mentally. And he just tells me once a week, you know, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. You're already special. And me basically just saying the same thing to him is he's already validated. You know, he's already won, you know, a plethora of games, and he's already, you know, won a Super Bowl, already been all pro. So he doesn't have anything to prove to anybody. Just go out there and be Russ. So we just try to reiterate that to each other once a week.
I got to be honest with you, DK. I always am. The knives are out for him. I mean, the criticism his way, and I understand there's a you know, one can criticize what you see on film, all 22 X's and O's. But somebody's got the knives out for him, saying that half his birthday party is empty, and, you know, people aren't coming, and his defensive one of his defensive teammates appear to be barking at him. What do you think is happening? Do you guys talk about that? What do you think is happening?
I try to stay away from all the negativity, you know, surrounding him, because I don't know him for being a negative person or being, you know, in any negative light. He's been a very inspirational person to me, and been a big brother to me, and took me under his wing. So I have number of respect, you know, for him. And, you know, I know he's going to turn it around. So I'm not even going to speak, negativity into the situation or anything, you know, negative surrounding him, because I know what type of person he is and what type of quarterback he is, and you know he's going to overcome it, and you know adversity never lasts long around him. So I'm looking forward for him to turn around.
What was it like seeing Bobby Wagner last week too? But DK, what was that like?
That was good. That was a fun game because we start barking at each other a little bit during the third quarter and turn the game up a little bit. But that was a fun game just to play against Bobby and be on the other side of it, except for, you know, just in practice.
Yeah, you didn't wave for him to come along, did you? I didn't see that.
No, no, I wasn't waving for him to come over, but we had a couple run plays where I had to go block him, and you know, I tried to let him know I was there a little bit.
Okay. Okay, how do you take that? How do you take that?
He didn't say nothing to me. I turned my back and ran away trying to help bring the running back for a few more yards.
Oh, my gosh. All right, DK, I got to bring this up since we haven't spoken. The cart, you know the cart, what I'm talking about, the cart. You know,
okay. My cart.
Yeah. What happened? Did you go up to the cart and ask for a ride to take care of your business? Or like what happened? What happened?
I would never ask for a ride to the locker room, but
okay.
You know,
what happened?
People never ask for money too, but when you present it to me, I'm not gonna say no to it. So I came off the field.
Yeah.
I had come off the field like three plays before that.
Yes.
And I told my coach, like, hey, I gotta take a number two, like it's not looking good. And then we got a first down and got close to the red zone. So I was like, you know what, I'll hold it. So
yes.
We end up scoring, and I come back to the sideline.
Yes.
And the trainer and the head trainer and the head equipment guy was like, hey, there's a cart down there ready to take you into the locker room to go to the bathroom, because we're playing in Detroit, and it is a hike from the locker room to the field, and plus we're on the other side. So I was like, you know what, you can't miss an opportunity like this. So, you know, up the tunnel I went. And the rest is history. I just know I left my mark in Detroit.
DK, you gave a scare to everybody who loves you and roots for you. I mean, you know, seeing you carted, we're like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then what a relief, you know,
right.
to use another analogy. As well. I mean, did you have people after the game saying, what the hell did you do that for? Just walk
everybody after the game. I was like, bro, don't scare us like that. I'm like, I wasn't worried, so y'all shouldn't be worried. But I watched the video, and I wasn't smiling on the way to the locker room, so that's probably why everybody was a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the tweet. You're like, that clinch walk wouldn't have made it. That's what that's what you tweeted.
And we were wearing white that game, so it definitely would have shown.
DK Metcalf keeping it real as he always does here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk a little off the field. Last time we spoke, we were talking about acting. I don't know, have you been able to advance anything on that front at all for
yes,
you?
Sir. I'm still taking acting classes. I got an acting practice tonight after practice. And just waiting until the off season hits so I can, you know, get back on the ground running and see if I can land a few more roles, you know, this off season.
But, I love that.
Something's definitely in the works, for sure.
I love that. So what does an acting class look like? Are you taking with others? Is it a private lesson? I mean, is this DK Metcalf strolls into an acting class in Seattle, in the greater Seattle area?
It's me and my coach on Zoom. It's one-on-one.
Okay.
And
okay.
She basically sends me a script, and I have to read through it and build out a character and build out his backstory, and just basically ends up to a big last scene that I have to read with, you know, emotions going high, low, from anger to happiness to him finding himself. So, I mean, it's a lot of working through emotions and trying to find, you know, the right tone to use. And it's been fun because, you know, I like research and I like building things out from scratch. So,
sure.
Yeah, it's been just a fun thing outside of football just to keep me busy and just to keep working to improve on.
I love it. That's great. So you do Zooms that, and then you'll take care of, against Carolina. So you've been on playoff teams before, and you've got a huge Thursday nighter just after this one as well against San Francisco where you can – you can take a nice step towards winning this division. And I'm sure you've seen that they're on their third string quarterback. How has that landed in your locker room? I know you take it one at a time, but that one's right around the corner for you, DK.
Yes, sir. Yeah, like you said, man, we haven't looked too far past the Carolina Panthers because they have a very good defense, and they're a team that plays real hard. So we're not looking past them. But, you know, if we can talk Monday after the Thursday night game, I got you.
Okay.
After the Sunday game. But for sure, I haven't paid in too much attention to the 49ers yet.
Okay, DK Metcalf. Well, I always appreciate you taking the time, staying after, you know, practice to chat with the program. It was great to see you in Munich. How great was that environment? That game.
Yeah, that was fun. It was real fun. The fans were into it the whole game, singing. They had me singing on the field. So it was just a fun environment, and it was my first time out the country. So yeah, it was a good experience for me.
Yeah, well, DK Metcalf, always a great experience for us when you're on the program. Thanks again, and look for more of my calls. I always appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. You have a good day.
Right back at you. DK Metcalf, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Always fun. Oh, my gosh. How funny was that about the cart? My cart.
We're playing Detroit. My it's cart. A hike to the bathroom.
It's a hike.
I left
it's
my mark hike. In Detroit.
That's right. It's
no,
a hike.
It's way up the ramp in there.
Oh,
it's a hike.
It's a big MG.
Those locker rooms in Detroit, they're rough.
And he goes, and plus we were wearing white pants. So
OMG.
The white pants thing made me laugh.
And he's just like, yeah, I'm not talking about next week.
He said he'll call back in this season.
I know.
So, you know.
I know.
We got that going for us.
Ken in Vegas, let's take this phone call right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ken?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
Thanks for calling in. We love being on in Vegas. Love it. Love, love, love. What's going on?
All right, I'm a big 49ers fan.
Yes.
So this is my question. I need you to put on your GM hat for me, Rich, for 1 second.
Right.
So preseason, before season, was all Trey Lance talk. And then once Trey Lance goes down, now it's all Jimmy G. Jimmy G makes the team better. I think Chris Brockman said that Jimmy makes the team better. So if Brock Purdy goes and wins the Super Bowl, what does the 49ers do then? At that, all three. I know Jimmy G may be a free agent, but what do you do at quarterback if Brock Purdy goes and wins the Super Bowl?
Here's
yes.
what I'm doing.
Oh, my goodness.
Hit the music.
Oh, baby. Ken?
Okay, we're digging through the radio station. Rich has turned around.
Rich is getting the crystal ball.
Crystal ball out.
And putting
this
it on the desk.
This is why I have a crystal ball.
We have a crystal ball.
So what's your question again? Is if the
49ers.
We're not going to the spa. What is this? Okay, Ken. If the 49ers, if Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl, what happens, right?
Yes. Do you sign Jimmy G back? Do you trade Trey Lance? Do you sign Brock Purdy? What do you do?
Here's what I do. I'm looking in the crystal ball right here, and I see Brock Purdy winning the Super Bowl, whoa. And I see him becoming one of the biggest superstars in the history of the National Football League because of it. And I see the San Francisco 49ers having Brock Purdy start the next season with Jimmy G elsewhere. And Trey Lance backing him up.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
That's what I'm seeing in the crystal ball.
That?
I have a crystal ball. What? If Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl, what are they going to do? Say, thanks, you're back. You're back as the backup. And we're going to go with, he'll become the Mike White to Trey Lance's Zach Wilson. 1,000,000%. Are you kidding? What if the Jets? I'm looking in the crystal ball. And I'm seeing Mike White winning the Super Bowl for the New York Jets this year. Do I see Zach Wilson starting for them next year? No. I see me passed out drunk on the floor.
Rich,
that's what I see in the crystal ball.
I want to take you back to a year ago when I said, what if Jimmy Garoppolo wins the Super Bowl for the 49ers? And you said, they would say, thanks, Jimmy. It's Trey Lance's team.
Did I say that? Did I really say that?
Repeatedly.
Did I really say that?
You did.
If he wins the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Repeatedly.
That team wasn't going to the Super Bowl last year.
What do you mean? They were one play away.
Yeah, I know.
They were close.
It's still Brock Purdy's team. Different story. That's what I see in the crystal ball.
Brock Purdy's team? Nobody knew who he was. Like a week.
So you guys didn't think I would have the crystal ball.
No,
again,
I didn't
you?
No,
that was nice. That was
luckily,
nice.
I have
Lance
a crystal
comes,
ball.
Leave it. Trey Lance comes back after all of that, after giving up all those picks to get him, and you anoint him your guy, and he gets hurt. And
Brock,
you say,
Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl. This thing's a wrap. If Jimmy G won the Super Bowl last year, I still think they would have told him thanks for the memories.
Oh, unreal.
That thing was over.
Let me tell you what's not going to happen.
He said goodbye. He said goodbye after losing the NFC Championship game, Chris. He said goodbye. He knew the writing on the wall. That writing was on the wall in big block letters like Red Rum. dripping off the walls in San Francisco's facility. Everyone
Stafford
knew
throw
it.
Them a pick, and they just dropped it, and then they went on to lose the game. I mean, geez, it was right there for them.
I'm so glad I have a crystal ball. I was able to answer that question.
Argentina won nothing.
I know, right? Oof. All right, let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show, and let's go into the weekend with one of my favorite segments, Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we haven't done it in a while.
Been a while.
It's been too long. Too long. I'm going to put the crystal ball away now. It's great having Buda Baker on earlier today. I talked with him about the Patriots' offense and what he's seeing, because I was hunting and pecking to see what a lead pipe wielding bona fide all pro safety thinks of this offense that has been highly criticized for its simplicity. Even Kendrick Bourne was talking about it coming off the loss to the Buffalo Bills. Even actual Patriots are saying, hey, you know, third downs, people are knowing what we're doing. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. I know, Chris, this is third rail conversation.
I've had a week.
You've had a week. I'm sorry to bring it up.
I've had a week.
In the aftermath of Xander Bogaerts joining us as a Southern California resident, along with Mookie Betts,
and then I started Derek Carr in fantasy last night.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Rough and then Messi
days.
Didn't score just now when we needed him.
But
at
any rate, we have, as you know, Matt Patricia calling the plays, the offensive coordinator, longtime defensive assistant and defensive-minded former head coach of the Detroit Lions.
That brings Chris joy.
So Vance Joseph was asked, he's the defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals, what he's seeing. Because when I asked this of Buda Baker, he didn't take any shots or say anything that could be viewed as critical, because he's like, hey, I see the quarterback. And he mentioned Ramondre Stevenson, called him number 38.
I mean, that is his number.
Number 38. Yeah, that's the number of business decisions he forces per game.
Fact.
Anyway, this is Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals, analyzing the Patriots' offensive scheme.
I see an offense that's running the football well. You know, it's a very conservative pass game. You know, lots of screens, all kind of screens. It's like a defensive guy's calling offense. You know, he's it's how a defensive guy will call offensive plays, right? You know, let's not turn the ball over. Let's get 4 yards of play and, you know, try to burn clock. And that's what they're doing. You know, that's what he's going to do on Monday night. And he's going to be patient. You know, maybe take a shot here, you know, from time to time. But for the most part, it's running game, it's quick game, and it's screens, you know. So that means the defensive guy. That's what he's doing. He's calling like a defensive guy would call plays.
And he knew as he was saying it how it would be viewed as being critical, because it's a third rail subject in the Boston area and the New England area and Patriot Nation. But he's not wrong. If you have a defensive minded player, a coach who's thinking conservatively and don't turn it over, don't take risks, that's kind of it. That kind of hits the nail directly on the head of what has been criticized of this offense. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of not wrong, right?
I hadn't heard that, so I was expecting him to be trash talking.
No, it's not. It's kind of spot on.
As we know, the quick passing game
sucks.
Sweeping sucks.
That's what. You're referring to Mac Jones being caught by the Amazon cameras 1 week ago last night, screaming about throw the damn ball. The quick game effing sucks.
Yeah.
And everybody thought, lip readers thought he was talking about the running game. But again, Ramondre Stevenson is really terrific.
Does not suck.
Like, you want him running the ball. You want him coming out of the backfield because he's big and people don't want to hit him and tackle him. Buda Baker confirmed that. Yeah. He says he's seeing all sorts of film of colleagues of his across the NFL landscape turning down the opportunity to hit him and tackle him. So this was brought to Bill Belichick's attention today. And that brings us to this edition. It's been a long while we've done it. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
We don't shine shoes no more, but we do love putting this together for you. It is today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Well, we prefer to win. Bill, yesterday Vance Joseph described your offense as looking like a defensive guy is calling it. I'm not asking you to speak for him, but do you agree with the premise that an offense can operate as he described it, like a defensive coach would want, prioritizing time of possession and avoiding turnovers, more conservative style?
Yeah, I don't know. Like whatever he said, so. Great, ask him about it.
Wow. It's been a while. What a stirring return to the Rich Eisen Show lineup.
Rousing return.
By today's Bill Belichick press conference moment. Because he knows what's being inferred. The inference is just screaming at you like a big, huge headline in the Boston Globe. Jesus. Bill chose a defensive-minded guy to call plays in the second year for Mac Jones. He has not looked at all like the quarterback last year. He's barking about the quick game sucking, and a defensive coordinator who they're going against saying, it looks to me like a defensive coach is calling plays. Mm-hmm. This is the former HC of the Denver Broncos, who, as we all know, got bounced. You know? Damn! That's coming up on Monday night. And you can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone.
At least we're not terrible in the red zone. Oh, wait. 31st in red zone scoring.
6-6, super. Brother.
And by six the way, it's a game on Monday that's winnable.
It's huge. And then you got the Raiders.
Which, who knows?
Dude, we just saw last night that it's one big shrug emoji. Go for it. Who knows?
Unreal.
You know? And I spoke to David Andrews for the offensive lineman for Monday Night Football. And I asked him, are you going back? Because, you know, you got a short week, Arizona and then Vegas.
Yeah.
And they're staying, they're staying out in Arizona. Jed Fish, former Patriot assistant, is hosting him.
Oh, cool.
University of Arizona.
Nice.
So.
Probably a smart move.
Well, the alternative is what Belichick gets 53 tickets for the Blue Man Group. I mean, that's not happening.
I mean, there's rooms available.
There's rooms available?
Yeah, I mean.
So, I mean, talk
about. Do you still have a residence?
Dude, that could have been potentially 7-6 versus 6-7. Belichick and McDaniels and the Raiders totally blew it. Instead, no, it's going to be them on the line. The Patriots could hammer a nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Because 8-9 is not making the playoffs in the AFC. That's a fact.
No, I think it's 1-10. Feels like it.
I think so, too.
Feels like it.
I think so, too. The Chargers and the Dolphins this weekend.
Pats,
holy crap.
Jets, they're all kind of
so many great games. Jets and Bills, obviously. And then 5-7 teams. Lions staying alive against the Vikings. The Steelers trying to get back to 500. Man. Fun stuff. Yeah. Thanks to Buda Baker and DK Metcalf and Mike Florio. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah.
Enjoy the World Cup, Heisman Trophy, so much more. We'll talk about it all on Monday.